want to see how good your memory is. 9 years ago, over 9 years ago now, the very first service that I spoke at as your new pastor, who remembers what my opening sentence was? Wow. I mean, that wasn't it, actually, but that was my sermon. It was, who are you, what are you here for, where are you going? That's very good, though, Colin. I'm amazed, because most I can't even remember what I did last week, don't I? But my opening statement was, as I came and stood up here, was this: what have you done? 9 years later, I'm looking around and I'm going, what have we done? I just want us to reflect just for a moment of our journey over the last 9 years. Over the last 9 years, we've had an ethos in this church that we are a community of ordinary people on a journey, exploring, experiencing, and expressing the heart of God. I believe that from the moment we're born to the moment we die and go to be with the Lord, that we are on a journey. And on that journey, we are exploring. We're exploring all kinds of things, but when it comes to faith, we're exploring who God is, his nature, his character. We're exploring through his word what it says about him, what it says about us, what it says about the hopes and plans and dreams that God has for us. We're exploring all those things, and we created a space here in church, in fellowship, where we can do that together on a Sunday morning. We explore together what God's word says. But more importantly, in small groups where we can really begin to explore together, where we can really begin to discuss what we've heard on a Sunday and really begin to ask questions about it and pray about it and support one another, encourage one another, and share life together, because that's what happens when you join small groups. And we've got our second small group meeting. That's what the notes I forgot. And we've got our second small group meeting this Tuesday. Thank you for everyone who turned up. I thought it was a good night. And it's going to be another good night this Tuesday, 8 o'clock here. But that's where we explore. That's where we do life together. But of course, the Christian faith, we know, isn't just an academic exercise. It's not just about us gaining knowledge. Knowledge is good, but wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge. And we know that the Christian faith isn't about just knowing God or knowing about God. It is actually knowing him personally. It's being in relationship with him. That's what the Christian faith is about. It's not about rules and regulations and learning them all, but it's about relationship. And that's why we should be experiencing the things that we read in the scriptures. We should be experiencing what he has done for us, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his freedom. We should be experiencing his challenge, his rebuke, his correction at times. We should be experiencing his power at work within us. That's what we read about. We should be experiencing miracles. We should be experiencing all kinds of things that we read about, that his guidance, showing us what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go. It should be an experiential thing as well as just gaining knowledge and information that helps us to live in a right way. But then we also know it's not just about an inward, self-centered thing, faith. I've heard many people say that faith is both personal and private. And although I agree with half of that, I agree that faith is personal because it starts with a personal encounter with God and a personal desire and decision to put our faith and trust in Jesus for ourselves. That's how it starts, and we begin that journey together with him. But one thing faith isn't, it isn't private. You know, so many people say, well, I'm a Christian, but no one knows. No one knows in work. No one. And there are situations where that's appropriate because there is the possible danger. But for the majority of us, that's not the case. Jesus called us, he said of us, and he said of the disciples that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world. He said many things about himself, but they're things he said about us. So he said, I want you to let your light shine. He said, I don't put a light on and then put a bucket over it to hide it. He said, I put a light on a stand and I make sure that everyone in the household can see it. And he said, you are like a light I put on a hill and I want you to shine brightly. So we know that faith is something that we also have to express as we're on this journey in life, that we're expressing the things we've experienced, the things that we've known, the things that we've experienced ourselves. We share it with other people because that's part and parcel of the journey of faith. And we've been on that journey. And over the last, 9 years, there are so many things that we could share, so many things that we could reflect on, so many individual stories that we could tell of people coming to faith, of people being healed or set free, or God providing for them, or God blessing them in so many different ways. We could have testimony after testimony. I love it when we have baptisms because we hear people's testimonies, but we need to probably create even more space for people to come and share what God is doing in their lives, because it's so important to hear testimony, isn't it? And we could share lots of things about that, about how God has used so many different things. But there are three things significantly that I believe we've done as a group, as a corporate family together here over the last 9 years that have been significant. It's all significant. But the first is the building project. The building project has been on the heart of this church and on God's heart for many years. But for whatever reason, it never moved forward. But 7.5 years ago, we stepped out in faith and began an adventure when we left these premises and we moved out for 18 months. And it was a step of faith which Colin and Phil and the team and others, but all of us were on, where we stepped out in faith and said, this is going to cost us $2.5 million. In fact, we didn't say that at the start. It was less than that. But it grew to $2.5 million. And man, was that scary? That's scary. But we knew God was in it. We knew God was with us. And as we stepped out, we saw him provide for us time and time again, didn't we? And you know why it was so significant? It was significant because of what we've been able to do since we've been back in here. See, since we've been back, we've had this vision to move in, to move out. That's been our vision for the last 6 years, that we're a people who are moving in, moving back in to move out. We're not moving in to get comfortable. We're not moving in just to have a good time, nice facilities just for ourselves. We're moving in to move out, to have an even greater impact in this community, to share and to show the love of God in even greater ways. And that's why we not only continued with the things we were doing, like tadpoles and Alpha and youth and children's work, which were running well and running effectively, but we began to introduce things like Lunch Plus, Messy Church, Food Bank, Night Shelter, all those things that actually had an outward focus as well and connected with our community and showed and demonstrated the love of Christ. And we got loads of testimonies of the people who have been fed or just taken care of slept in peace or comfort or have just been encouraged or come to faith through those various activities and programs we've put on. It's really important. It's significant. And, we also had a goal and we had a dream that we were going to pay this money off, this £2.5 million within 7 years of being back in the building. Do you know, this weekend is the 6th year we've been back in, exactly this weekend. 6 years we've been back in. It's incredible how quick it goes, isn't it? 6 years. And we are down to £58,000. Isn't that amazing? We've just got £58,000. I think it's amazing. Yeah. I think it's incredible. And we've got 1 year, 12 months to pay the rest of that off. That was just a kind of a vision that God gave us in some ways, just to do that. And I think that with his grace and his help, he's going to do it. And what I want to say to you this morning, that over, on that journey, that God has enabled you, he's enabled us, we, to do that. Through his help, through his grace, he's enabled us to do that. And that's not being proud. That's not being boastful. That's just saying, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that that's what we have achieved with your help and with your grace. And you have done that. The second thing that I think has been very significant for these last 9 years in the journey is this, that you recognised the call upon Andy Fuller's life, that you recognised the potential in him, and you did something about it. You were prepared to put him up. You were prepared to trust him, to release him, to pay for him to go to college, to support him, to encourage him. And 6 years down the line, are you happy we did that? Do you think we did the right thing there? I think you did. I think we did. Last week was amazing, wasn't it? And that's the third most significant thing. That last week was one of the most joyful occasions for me. Mixed emotion, joyful and painful at the same time. Joyful because, do you know what? This summed up to me what moving in to move out was really all about. The pinnacle of moving out, of being prepared to send out a team when you include the teenagers and the children, over 50 amongst us. That is huge. That's why we're empty. But you know, these chairs, we're praying, they're not going to stay empty for long. Okay? Because you can tell your friends. You can tell your friends that there is space now to come. They do not have to sit on those hard things in the balcony. Although some people still like it. But they've got nice, comfortable chairs down here. But to me, that's most simple, because that's God's heart, that we release these people to be church, to be Christ in a place where there's very little church presence. And I want to say, with God's grace and God's help, you've done that. You've done that. Malden Manor Community Church would not exist today if it wasn't for New Malden Baptist Church. So well done. In the last 9 years, it's been a privilege and been an honour to be your pastor. And I'm so grateful for your encouragement and what we've done together with God's help and with God's grace. But we're in a new season now. We're in a new season. And what's God got for us? Well, I believe he's got, in some ways, more of the same. More of the same stuff. But as I was praying about this, I'm really saying, Lord, if you got a new vision for us, our vision was moving in to move out really for the last 6 years. What's the new vision that you got for us this season here? And I felt the Lord's, over a number of weeks back, just drop something into my heart and my spirit. And I'm going to share it with you this morning. And when I first had it, I thought, I'm not sure. I kind of like it, but I'm not sure how much I like it. Anyway, it's this. Do you want to put it on? I felt the Lord say to me, this is the vision. This is what I want the people to be in this new season. To love God and live generously. What does that mean? Matthew 22, verse 34 says this. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law, and tested him with these questions. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love God? It basically means to give him your everything. It means to surrender everything to him. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your mind, your intellect, your strength. That's basically everything. To love God is to give ourselves to God. To bring every area of our life under his lordship, under his control. To love God means to obey his commands. Jesus says, when you love me, you will obey me. What does it mean to obey? To do what he says. What does he want us to do? Well, read the Sermon on the Mount. Read the love the one another's, love one another, care for one another, teach one another. To love God means to want to be in his presence. When we love someone, we want to be around them. We want to be in their presence. We want to immerse ourselves in them. And God's just saying, I want a season of just immersing ourselves even more. Of truly surrendering and sacrificing and giving everything over to the Lord. What does it mean to live generously? And before I say what I think it means, when I first thought that, I said, but Lord, we already do. We've been really generous. We've been really generous. And we've been kind of sacrificial with the building and with finance and with this team going off to Morden Manor. And I almost felt rebuked by the Lord. Because I almost felt it's like, you've only just begun to understand what it means to be generous. And I argued, and I said, Lord, you know that I've been a Christian 30 years, and you know that I've spent 22 years of those in churches which have got building projects. I said, Lord, I have no savings. I said, do you know that? That is the truth. Do you know? And he said to me, but that doesn't really affect your life. You still go to football. You still do what you want. You still go on holidays. You still have nice clothes, nice car, nice. It doesn't really cost you anything. If you don't save, that's your problem. If you want to. I said, that's a bit harsh, Lord, isn't it? But what I've found saying is that, you know, maybe some of us have been sacrificial. Maybe some of us have been generous. But I feel that the Lord is saying there is another level. There is another level. To be generous is to live like my son Jesus. See, it's not just about finance. It's about heart. It's about attitude. It's about spirit. Philippians tells us so much in there that Jesus let go of so much. That Jesus poured himself out. We just had communion. It cost him everything. He let go of his natural status. He was, in very essence, God. And yet he humbled himself and became a man. He let go of his social status. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he came to earth and took the position of a servant and washed people's feet. And people used him and abused him and spat in his face. And he let go of even his right to life. It cost him everything. That's generosity. And it was as if the Lord was saying to me, when you begin to live like that, when you truly begin to turn the other cheek, and when you truly begin to go the extra mile, and when you truly begin to give and sacrifice in such a way that it means you don't go to football or you don't go on holiday because someone else does, then you can begin to say you're starting to understand what it means to live generously. And I felt the Lord say, if our community and society needs a message today, it is this: generosity. Because we live in a world where people are so self-centered and so inward-looking. And I felt touched by it. And I felt like I had to repent because I've been self-centered. You know, and you think you're being generous, but actually, you're not even touching the surface. And I felt the Lord say, you may not like this. They may not like it, but this is how I want you to live. Because this is, you know, this is how he wants us to live. To live like Christ. So this next season, that we're actually going to put ourselves out. That actually we're going to count the cost whatever it is, that maybe we do have to serve more. Maybe we do have to do things differently. Maybe we do have to give more. And it's going to cost us. It's going to hurt us. But this is the kind of people he wants. It's to be a people who love him and who live generously. His spirit, generous with our time, our gifts, our talents, and our finances. All being invested into the kingdom of God and for his glory. That's the new vision. Anyone want to sign up for it? Jenny, maybe? And that's why we need God's grace. Because we can't do it in ourselves. Because everything within us is always pointing inward. It always reverts back to self. That's sinful human nature. It's always self-protection, self-preference. Have I got enough? Will I have enough? It's testing God in his promises that he's with us, he'll take care of us, he'll look after us, and he'll provide for us. What's the core values of the church? What have they been and what will they continue to be? Well, these, I've got one of these to give each one of you, okay? In fact, Martin, is Martin around? Kathy is. Can you start giving these out, actually? Because time's gone on its way, and what I'll do is I'm just going to read these out to you, okay? Core values. What's important to us? If you are new to this church and you want to become a member, then please come and see me afterwards. But these things are central. It's about worship. It's all about Jesus and for Jesus. Everything we do is about him. He's the head of this church and he's the center. Following a person is different from belonging to an institution. You know, we are in relationship with a person. Therefore, when he speaks to us, we want to try and obey. I'll be honest with you, I was not overexcited about sharing that vision today. But I feel that's what God's put on our heart for this new season. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to go higher. He wants us to really empty ourselves. See, following a person is different from belonging to an institution. You know, we will seek him, love him, worship him, and serve him. Discipleship matters to us. We're committed to following Christ and making disciples. We encourage all ages in our community to personally trust in Jesus and support growth in relationship with him through prayer, the Bible, exercising gifts and sharing our faith. I want to say, you know, if you're not sure whether you're a Christian this morning, to be a Christian, it means to follow Christ, to know Christ, to have surrendered to Christ, and to begin that journey with him. And it's the best decision you can ever make. It's the most important decision that anyone of us can ever make. And I encourage you, if you're not sure whether you've made that, then come and talk to me or someone else before you go today. Relationships matter to us. You know, we're called to be family. It's we before me. We are the body of Christ, and the unity of the Spirit is vital as we seek to love and serve one another and our community. Mission matters to us. You know, everything that we do from this place needs to flow in the spirit of mission. We're committed to reaching out and sharing the good news of Christ with all people in New Malden and beyond through preaching the gospel and demonstrating God's love through acts of kindness and serving the poor and the disadvantaged. Do you know what I'd love to see is that in 5 years' time that we're up to the same situation we had where we're just too full again. And then we have to do another plan. And then we would have raised someone else up and then we'll send them out. What do you think?
6 months.
6 months? That's good. Woo! No pressure. Because, you know, that's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? And, of course, generosity. Generosity reflects God's nature. He is a joyful, generous giver. We are committed to sacrificial giving. We will seek to give of our love, our time, our talents, and our money to further the kingdom of God. Who wants to sign up for that, for the new season? You'd be part of that? A church that has that at the very core values? We're in a new season. And I'm excited about it. We're starting a series on Abraham next week. And I've been really excited about this series. And a number of these thoughts, I think, came out of that. Came out of just looking at Abraham and his journey of faith and his journey. We'll see it, just how generous he is. And how different things. And we still continue to be on this journey of exploring, experiencing, and expressing the heart of God. But in the midst of that, I believe it's a season of truly loving God and living generously for him. Amen. Amen. If the band want to come back, we're going to pray. And then we'll finish with a song. Father, I thank you for your heart. And Lord, forgive me when I so often miss what you say or I'm not obedient to what you put on my heart. But Lord, I do trust you and I do believe you that one of the most important things that our society, that our communities need to hear today is about generosity. And Lord, would you free us? Would you free us in this place to truly live like you, Jesus? To live with a generous heart, a generous spirit. Not just financially, but in the way we treat one another. May we be quick to forgive. May we be quick to extend grace and mercy and love. May we be quick to encourage others in their walk in the service. May we be quick to support, quick to serve. And may we do it all without moaning and complaining. May we do it in the right spirit, a spirit of joy, a spirit of generosity. And Lord, help us to just to free our finances. Lord, may we not store up for ourselves treasures here on earth, but may we invest in the kingdom. And Lord, forgive us when we think that we've been generous. Forgive us when we think that we've been sacrificial, when really it hasn't even put us out one single bit. It hasn't even taken us out of our comfort zone. Lord, help us to live at a different level, we pray, in this new season ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.